Amen. It sure is good to see everyone tonight, and looking forward to getting back and just seeing everybody, fellowshipping with everybody. I enjoy being able to do that after the services and what have you. And I did want to say also, kind of echo what Brother Nathan was talking about there. I sure do appreciate everyone who takes part in what we have at the church. And there were so many comments and compliments after the service this week and after the meal. And I tell you, they were very, I guess, maybe surprised in some ways and what have you, but to see how much food and how much was there. But it's appreciated. It's appreciated to see what everybody does. And I don't want to ever take anything that we have for granted. I'm thankful for what God has given us here at our church. Thankful for those who've been willing to stand for it and uphold it. You know, life is not easy. Life's not easy. Tonight, the message is kind of, it's right where we have been. And it, to me, when I look at this, I was like, why is this kind of placed right in the middle of what we've been talking about, marriage and what have you? And I believe it's very fitting. It's kind of one of those things where I put a lot of prayer into it because I'm like, Lord, I'm not seeing on the front end how this is, what this means exactly, how this adds up to it. But throughout some things, even today, I think the Lord really solidified some things in my heart. Really hope and pray that this will be a blessing to you tonight. And you know, it's easy sometimes for us to go through life pretending or, you know, always saying everything's okay. You know, usually a lot of times when people ask another person, how are you doing? Good, how are you? It's almost just a reflex when deep down inside, sometimes there's just a lot going on. And I tell you, the Lord knows our hearts. He knows what we need and the help that we need. And I trust that He's going to continue to do that for us. And as long as we're receptive, we have something to be thankful for in the Lord. But we do have a business meeting tonight. And so I'll try to get into the lesson message tonight. But again, a lot to pray for. Let's remember the Hayes family, Hodges family, and many others. And we'll definitely have our time of prayer a little bit later. But I'll read these verses here. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I'm going to look at verses 17 through 24. This is kind of one of those things at first, if you study the Bible and you see the context of the chapter in total, this portion is probably the ones where the commentaries just kind of, Brother Finley, omit it. Just don't really say much about it. I'm like, yeah, you're struggling with it too, aren't you? You know, when you go to maybe read after some folks that you maybe trust and what have you, and you get to the part that you're maybe really trying to focus on the most, and they just kind of glide right over it. And I'm like, yeah, you're having a hard time with it too, putting it together. But I trust and pray it'll be a help to us tonight, and that the Lord will let it be what He wants it to be, what it is in His Word. So we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 17 through 24, it goes on to say here, it says, but as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all the churches. Is any man called being circumcised, let him not become uncircumcised. Is any man called in uncircumcision, let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God. Let every man abide, keep an eye on that word abide, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it, but if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's freeman. Likewise also, he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant. You're bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day that you've given to us. Thank you for your mercy and your grace, God, and just the fellowship that I've felt with you today, Lord. Just going through, I guess, another day of life, God, maybe ups and downs and different things, Lord. But I thank you, God, for the fellowship that I've had with you, just the time of prayer, the time of meditation, studying on things and just thinking about things in general, God, your word and how it pertains to us. I believe everything in your word will teach us and help us if we'll apply it and be willing to learn from it, not skim over it, not skim over the things we might not understand, but really try to take it to heart, because I know, God, you give it to us for a reason, to help us for our betterment, if not for today, another day, God. And Lord, I just thank you for how you provide for us in every way, physically, Lord, spiritually, and what you've done for us on the cross through Jesus Christ. God, thank you so much. Thank you, Lord. God, I just pray that you help every heart here. I know there's many different needs, much sorrow, a lot of comfort that needs to be given, Lord, and just different for different reasons. But God, we need you always. We need you completely. We're very needy, and we need you in everything, God. Lord, help me tonight. Help us in the business meeting. God, I pray you help our church. Lord, I pray that you be with the lost in our church and round about us, and help us to be the witness that you've called us to be. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. You know, when I was kind of looking through this and I was thinking, well, you know, it's a business meeting, and so maybe that will be a good reason to keep this short and just kind of skim over things. But the reality of it is, the way the Lord had laid it on my heart, it's here for a reason. And it's right in the middle of a very important study that we've been going through. And many, many, and I thank the Lord for this, many have reached out and said they've appreciated it and gained different things from it. And I'm thankful for that. That's what this is about, that we can learn and grow from it. It's not a position of elevating some and lowering others or being judgmental, anything like that. It's just taking what God's Word says, applying it to our lives, and then growing from it and gaining from it. But tonight I want to give this a title so our minds can actually kind of stay focused on something, and it's the word abide, but abide in your calling. Abide in your calling. There's things in our life that happen, circumstances and things, and it will derail us if we're not careful. It's easy to get derailed. My goodness, it's so easy, Brother Nathan. I was thinking about it this morning. This was, it feels petty now, but it's been kind of a rough day, like all the way around, seemingly. Now, it is pales in comparison to real problems that people have, but sometimes it doesn't take much to throw us off. I look at what it's saying here. It's saying to abide, and I can tell you easily, Brother Patrick, hang in there. Hang in there. Stay faithful. I can say that, especially if I'm having a good day. If I'm having what I would say an easy day and everything just seems to fall into place. You ever have a day like that? It's like, my goodness. We joke around sometimes. We'll say, man, you must be living right. Things just kind of work out the right way. And it's easy to kind of abide in that kind of atmosphere. But you ever have a day where nothing, Sister Judy's going right? Nothing. Nothing. I must be living wrong, right? I mean, nothing is going right. I'm thankful for times when I can get up and have some caffeine going, have some coffee going. That seems to help things for me, I'll be honest with you. But if things start hitting you before that time, I think it makes the day a little bit rougher. It does for me. I'm just going to be honest. You know, I like it when I can meditate, let the coffee take its effect, and study and kind of have my mind right. But when you got to start making decisions before that, sometimes it makes the day tough. I see a lot of smiles. I'm not alone. You know, I started out today and had to get up early or leave the house early. I get up usually about 5 o'clock every morning, but I was out earlier this morning going to try to help some friends. They wanted me to help them record some things and all that kind of good stuff. So we're up early. They're, you know, got their coffee and all this kind of stuff, trying to get woke up. And just as we were finishing up, you know what I realized? I realized that I didn't have my little adapter pushed all the way in. So I did all that video, and it's about a couple hours worth, but none of it, there was no voice to it. No voice to it. And I was like, oh my goodness. Wasted all that time, Brother James. Wasted it. And then I was like, oh my goodness. And I was embarrassed. I told them, you know, we're going to have to do it again, Lord willing. We're going to try to pick up tomorrow. Going to do this again. That's petty. But that's 2 hours. I mean, that's time. That's precious time. And so working on that, and mom called me or texted me, and I kind of called back with her, and she had a clog issue. The clog was backing up. They were trying to get that fixed. It's like, my goodness, just a lot. So you're praying about that, praying about this. And I told Brandy, I texted her, and she had some meetings this morning. I texted with her, and I said, you know, it's been a tough morning. I said, you know, not horrible, not catastrophic, but just enough. You're like, oh, my goodness, I have to do this over again and fix this again. And then Brandy said, you know what? She said, my morning's been rough, too. Had a rough meeting this morning. But again, nothing catastrophic, but it was like everybody that I was talking to had something going on that threw them off. The day just felt off in general. And then after that, I felt like I was playing catch up throughout the rest of the day, and I don't like that feeling. I don't know anybody that likes to play catch up, especially if you got up early to knock things out early. But when you look at what this is talking about, the way the Lord laid it on my heart, sometimes you see the devil behind little things in your life. I think it's easy when things are going good, it's easy to say, you just keep doing what you're doing. You abide, abide, abide. Abide means to continue in the same state. And when things are looking good, then it's easy to have that mentality in my mind that we're going to abide, we're going to stay in the same path, doing the same thing. But then when things are all in disarray, it's hard to do that. Sometimes we question, do I need to change my path? Am I on the right path? Do I need to change my path? Is this path even worth still fighting for? It's easy to kind of get like that. And I believe when I look at this, and this is my take on this, talking about marriage, it doesn't take much. You have a husband having one of those off days. You have a wife having one of those off days. And if you're not careful, it's easy for those little things to start adding up into big things, causing division, causing an uproar. And it doesn't take long if people aren't willing, if people aren't aware of what's going on, to slow down, take a breath, and say, listen, things are not going as planned, but we got to abide in what we're supposed to do. We got to keep doing what we're supposed to do. Something that the Lord's laid on my heart probably this year in general is, regardless of what somebody else is doing, I am still accountable to what God has called me to do. We can't let other people or outside circumstances keep us from doing what God has called us to do, staying faithful to Him. You say, oh, it's another faithful message, but it's easier said than done. When you see these verses come together, you're talking about how some people are talking about being married and staying or being celibate or not being married and staying unmarried. Then you've come over here, and then also we've talked about being married and then getting divorced and what you're supposed to do there. You see all these things coming together, but what Paul is saying here, you have to remember what God called you to do. Regardless of our circumstances, and I know that is easier said than done many times in life, but it is our responsibility as Christians to stop, slow down, and remember, who do I work for? Who do I answer to? If I am a servant of Christ, am I not supposed to do what He's called me to do? Am I not supposed to stay faithful to Him? And you see in verse number 17, but as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called every one, so let him walk. So ordain I in all the churches. I want to say this. We've said it, and I'm not trying to be just over the top and say it over and over, but the two positions, the two places, the two offices in the church that you really have to be mindful of this is pastor and deacon. If a person is married and divorced, they can no longer hold those offices. But aside from that, you still have a responsibility to the church. I don't know sometimes if maybe some can look at that and say, well, you know what, I'm disqualified, I'm not going to do this, I don't have to do this. God has never called you to not be a Christian once you've been born again. Once we're saved, He expects us to act like it. Now, there's things that happen in our life, and that's what's been discussed prior to this, partially, is what's been discussed here. But as God hath distributed, as God hath given to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk. We're supposed to stay in that same state. We're supposed to continue in the walk. And it says here, and so ordain I and all the churches. Remember, Corinthians had a lot of questions. You're talking about a Gentile church that is trying to learn how they're supposed to act. So this is, again, in response to questions that the church had. And then plus two, to bring in circumcision, uncircumcision, again, the law. Paul brings that in here, verse 19, and it goes on and to say here, or verse, let me read 18 and 19. It's what it says here. Is any man called being circumcised, let him not become uncircumcised. Uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision, let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God. It's talking about the outward part, the physical part. What Paul is really wanting us to see and what the church at Corinth to see is the condition of the heart. Staying faithful and staying true to God and true to your calling is what he is talking about. Not just on the appearances, on the outside, and looking at things from that perspective. It's easy to do. I've got to look this way, act this way. He's saying, I'm not concerned about that. What I'm concerned about is you staying true to who God has called you to be, regardless of our circumstances. I know when things are easy, it's easy to abide. I don't know how many messages I've heard new preachers preach. I remember preacher Greg Thompson preaching a message, maybe one of his first messages. I guess this was at Mountaindale years ago, but he was preaching on getting out of your comfort zone. And for getting up, for a lot of young men, getting up and preaching and teaching in front of people, trying not to mess up, that's a very unnerving thing to do. You have to get outside of your comfort zone to do that. And I see this being here and getting used to talking to people and doing different things. And then also, don't want to lose my train of thought, but he's talking about abiding, staying in what matters here. Look at verse 17, 20, and 24. It's talking about staying on that same path. You get down to verse number 20, and it says here, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Staying true to what the Lord has called us to do. And then you come down to verse number 21. It says, art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's freeman. Likewise, also, he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant. When you and I have been set free, when the Lord saves us, we accept him, we've been set free, we now become his servant to do what he has asked us to do. Staying faithful to him, following him and what he's called us to do. When life is easy, that is so easy to do, but when the darts come, I don't know if you've ever got to this place in your Christian walk, but you will, if you try to abide with Christ, I promise you this, you'll get to the place that you'll say, Lord, is this worth it? Lord, is this really what you've called me to do? Lord, is this really how it's going to be? Lord, what do I need to do? Then you've got some decisions to make. You really do. Just being honest and not being dramatic or anything like that at all. Just want to be honest. I think sometimes people can put on a front and act like everything's fine while on the inside they're tore all to pieces, but they feel like they got to make an appearance. Paul's talking to us as real people here, knowing that we're going to face things, he's faced things, and what he is saying is remember who Jesus Christ is to you and what he did for you. Never forget that. You know, in talking about what we've talking about here, spousal relationships, those can go really well, those can go really bad, but what I have found, especially in church, maybe more so in church than a lot of other professions or a lot of other placements in life, is when somebody gets hurt from a person, they will use that as an excuse to distance themselves from God. I want to remind you, it's not God that hurts you. People will do things, people will say things, they will do things that are not right because they're made out of the same stuff you and I are, they're not perfect, just as we're going to mess up, they're going to mess up. And Paul is reminding us that remember whose servant that you are. I really hope this will land with you, and There's times that I have got to the place of trying to figure out what to do during certain circumstances, what to say, how to approach this, how to do that, and maybe gotten to a place where I've felt like I've done everything I know to do, but yet don't have that good closure. That's a hard place to be. The way that I have found closure inside of that is making sure that I am right with God and following Him. The Lord will give you peace over things like that. Remembering, we are people, everybody that we come in contact with are people. And it's just like that sometimes. And again, verse 22, it says, "For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's freeman." He's been made free by Christ. "Likewise also, he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant." So you and I, we're not saved to just do whatever we want to. I'm not telling you anything you haven't heard before, but it comes up in our text here tonight, and I believe it's good timing to hear it again. It says, verse 23, "Ye are bought with a price. Ye are not the servants of men." Paul is reminding them and telling them, listen, you know, you're not here just to try to make people happy. You're here to follow Christ. And if you have people that are not following Christ and you try to make them happy, it's going to pull you away from Christ. There comes a point in time that people have to say what needs to be said. This is something, Brother James, I heard at the service this week, and I appreciated it. Somebody was saying, and maybe it was Brother Brandon, he had said, talking about Brother Dale, he said, you know, he was very, very calm and very reserved most of the time, but when it come time to say what needed to be said, he would say it. And that's a good way to be. You try to explain things to people lovingly, caringly, and then sometimes you just have to just tell it like it is. That's just how it is. Being a part, being a servant of Christ, being what it's saying here, verse 23, "You are bought with a price, be ye not servants of men." You got to remember, we belong to Christ. We're here to help each other, lift each other up, be a blessing to each other, and what have you in that manner. But we belong to Christ. We are bought with the price. You'll see it in other places in God's Word also. And then verse number 24, what it says here, it says, "Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God." It's just saying stay with Him regardless. Regardless of the good times, regardless of the bad times, it's an encouragement. It's almost a commandment, but it's coming from Paul to abide and stay in the same state with Christ. It's talking about being even killed. Just have two other places I want to read to you, and then we'll be dismissed for tonight. But Philippians 4:11. I thought how fitting this verse is for what he's talking about here. And this is again Paul. You got to think about his life is different than ours. He wasn't put in prison for stealing and robbing or something like that. He wasn't put in there for an offense that like a criminal was put in, but he was put into prison because he was following after Christ. He was put in prison for what we would say the right reasons, because he was being obedient and he went against the grain of what the Romans and the world, the direction that they were going. And Paul said, "I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." That is abiding. That's abiding with Christ. He is staying in the same state with Christ regardless of the good times or the bad times. I think maybe you can use this for a lot of different things, friendships, relationships, jobs, what have you, but in the context of marriage, I think that's something for us to remember. It's not always going to be easy. It's not. Amen.
Everything the world's telling you, and most everybody, probably 98% or 99% of the world is saying, "I need this and I want that. I want to know what I want." It, you know, it's all demands.
Right. But it's self-centered. It's what I want, you know. And people, again, maybe look for an excuse to get out, you know. And sometimes they misrepresent God's word to try to do that. Amen. And Colossians 3:23-24, this is the last scripture I have here, says, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men. I tell you, if this really resonate with you, I think I remember once upon a time thinking about this verse when I worked for an elected official. When I worked for the sheriff years ago, I was afraid because everybody's like, yeah, man, you got to be careful working for a sheriff. You can get fired just like that. You make him mad, you're fired. He goes out of office, you can get fired. I mean, all those kind of things. And I remember thinking about that, and I'm like, gosh, how in the world are you going to keep all these people happy so you can keep a job? How in the world are you going to make everybody happy and not offend somebody at some point in time? But what I see right here, this verse came to my heart then. It's like, you know what? If I'm approaching this from looking at it, if I'm trying to make the Lord happy first and foremost, then He'll take care of the rest. He will deal with all this other stuff. And I tell you, been through a lot since then too. Been a lot of unhappiness with people, a lot of different things, sheriff changes, all that kind of stuff. But I thank God for His provision, and I thank God that this verse rang true. I wouldn't go back and change what God has done in my life in respect to that time in my life. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. And again, it's just a reminder of who we serve. And the Lord has a way of even making our enemies happy with us, the Bible says, if we're following after Him. But I'll just say this quickly, bloom where you're planted. That's the last thing that I had written down for this. I believe that's kind of what it's talking about. I've heard Brandy talk about this before during one of the women's devotional times. I think somebody taught a lesson or something along those lines about blooming where you're planted. Be who you're supposed to be where you are right now, not waiting, God, if you will do this, I will. Lord, if you'll give me this placement, I will. But it's serving Him right now. That's what abiding means. Abiding in your calling means you're in your calling regardless of circumstances in life. And I'll absolutely say that's a lot easier said than done. I'll say that. I wonder if anybody else has anything on their heart tonight.